Join me.
Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ.
While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy.
Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
It's true, isn't it? Jesus changes everything. I have no idea how difficult the conversation was, but I have a feeling the conversation with her mother that Mary had, "Mom, I'm pregnant," was not all that easy. However, even worse would have been the conversation that it seems that she had with the man that she was betrothed to. The man who had said, "I want to take you into my household. You have been purported as one of the righteous, pure women in our village, and I want you to be my wife." And now I get to have a conversation. Now we get to have a conversation. And of course, she has an excuse, right? Oh, God said it was from the Holy Spirit. And just like all of us, they probably say, yeah, sure. It took a vision from God. Matthew is the one who records it for Joseph to be convinced of that. We have no idea if her mother ever was. Hard words. But in reality, no matter how hard that conversation was, it was different because of Jesus. Luke continues the story he's unwrapping for us here of the coming of the Messiah. And the setting shifts. Last week we looked at a priest, not a high-ranking priest, but still a priest in the temple doing holy things, putting the incense in the temple so that it could rise up to God as a pleasing aroma, as their songs and recitation of the Psalms and Scripture would symbolically do. But now, if you thought it had been in a kind of a less than ideal setting, again, Zechariah is not a great high priest. Zechariah is not someone who has enough authority to really say, "I'm going to be the one who give this sacrifice." He only gets to do it because of the casting of lot. We take a hard left turn out of the temple, out of Jerusalem, north to Galilee. I love the fact that Luke can't just say Nazareth because nobody knows where Nazareth is. He says it's in Galilee. And when you get to Galilee and you think you've gotten to the end of the dirt road, take a hard left and go further into the sticks. And when you arrive at Nazareth, here's where we are. The angel Gabriel was sent by God. Not an accident, not a happenstance. Sent by God to Nazareth, to a young lady, a teenager in reality, named Mary. Let's read from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child." The literal translation of the original language is, "In your womb, a child will be conceived." Let's be real clear how definitive the word from the angel was. "You will be with child and give birth to a son and are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, who's too old and broken to have children, Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. You will become pregnant. For so many, this is the news that we wait for. It's the news that we point to. It's the goal in many ways of what we've been working towards for a period of time. We've found the person we want to live with. We've established an independent life together. We've put our finances together such that we're prepared to have a family. And then that great announcement, you're pregnant, comes back with a pink plus, whatever process that is. But make no mistakes, this was not good news to Mary. This was a message that was disorienting. This is a message that it is only because of the Holy Spirit, because of God, in reality because of Jesus, can even be considered good news at all in her scenario or in any other, except for Jesus. And like Zechariah, Mary's initial response is less than certain, less than sure. Zechariah will say, how can this be? And Mary says, I can't. No. And again, maybe that word, impossible. But that is not where her words to the angel and her response to the invitation of God and the promise of God ends. It ends with yes, doesn't it? My guess is yes had a lot of question marks around it. I have never heard of anybody, nor can I remember a story of anybody that the Holy Spirit impregnated a woman. I am not sure how the people around me are going to respond. I don't know any of those answers, but Lord, because it's you, I say yes. It is my goal in life, not that you serve me, but that I am your servant. And because of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit, because the message is from you, and only because of that, let it happen to me just the way you said. You see, Luke tells these stories in a way that kind of draw us in. They ask us the question, what would you do? How would you react? They cause us to realize that the story of the actors that he is portraying, the characters, excuse me, not mythology, not some sort of fictional thing, the real people involved in that process, had to face things that if we turn the glass just slightly, they look exactly like us. And so we're invited. We're invited by Luke. We're invited by the Holy Spirit. We're invited by God. We're invited by Jesus to join Mary in our own conversion. Because, see, we have to be converted to really sing joy to the world. And so it is that Mary is converted to sing joy to the world because she was willing to be one who was submitting with humility. My guess is that Mary could have come up with many, many better ways for the story to unfold. What a great idea, God. Just wait a few months, Joseph and I will be married, and it'll all be good. I won't have to tell mother, and I won't have to tell him where the baby came from. It'll all be good, and everything will be right with the world. Maybe she said, you know, I'm betrothed to Joseph, but you know what? I'm betting that if a prince or a high priest came along and said they wanted to be married to me, that would work, and we can wait long enough for that to come together, and then it'll really be legitimate. My guess is she maybe had 100 ways that she thought that it could happen better than the one that God said. And I don't know if all those flashed through her mind in the middle of an olive grove on the hillside outside of Nazareth as an angel appears to her and said, "You're going to become pregnant. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to name him Jesus." And just before she says, "How can this be?" she may have come up with all those things, but her question, her concern, is not met with a rebuff. It is met with an invitation to understand it. See, the Holy Spirit's at work here, Mary, and you can't understand it completely. And no, it's not going to happen along the normal path. But what is impossible to all of everything that you've known is not just possible, but is glorious to God. Everything changes because of Jesus. We are invited to be people who become those who submit to God with great humility, because we want to find the glory of God in our lives, and we want to discover what it is to know His joy, not the happiness or the luckiness or whatever we might want to replace it with, but the joy of God into our lives. So very quickly, if I'm going to be finding joy through the process of submitting with humility, I have a few suggestions. Maybe some of them will ring in your ear. First of all, if we're going to submit to God, we have to truly hear God's favor. Did you hear that word? You are favored. God has favored you. God has blessed you. I have a feeling when the message was you're going to become pregnant, she had to kind of say, "I'm not sure that's a favor, God." Especially when she said the words to her mother. And then when she said them to Joseph. But we must hear God's favor spoken over each and every one of us. And that we need to change our perspective on things such that when we know His love, that is the great and true and complete blessing. How often do we want God to come up with something? "Great God, you love me, so give me some more money. Great God, you love me, put me in a better job. Great God, you love me, so give me some better children. Grandchildren," whatever the case may be. But Mary seems to have a sense, or at least the example she sets, and I don't think it occurred to her all at once any more than it can occur to all of us, that when God says you're blessed, that changes our perspective on life. And to know that He loves us becomes the central blessing that we're looking for. And if we're looking for anything else to take the place of that, we will never find a humble submission that will bring us to any joy. Because when you read Scripture backwards and forwards, you're not going to find any other promises other than, "I will love you and I will come and get you." Trouble, strife, changes, challenges, difficulties. "I don't like it this way, God, but I love you. You're my favored and blessed one." Number two, humble submission will always find its way into trusting God enough to question Him. Do you notice the similarity? Zechariah got in trouble for saying, "I'm not sure this is happening." Mary apparently said it with a different tone, or at least there was a greater process, a greater intent, greater purpose for her, because she says the same thing. Whoa, this can't happen. But instead of rebuking her the way Zechariah was rebuked, Mary is invited to have answers to her questions. You don't have to read very far in the Bible to recognize that the people that God interacts with most intensely almost always had questions. Even Jesus. And God invites your questions. The only thing that is unfaithful about your questions are when, as opposed to going to God, you say, God must not have good answers for me, and we go somewhere else to find them. You see, humble submission, submitting with humility, is not the absence of questions. He's a good father. Amen? And a good father invites questions. Now, be sure and say, just like every good father, sometimes the answer to the question is, because I said so. But let's, human fathers, let's never make that our first response. Third, we talked about softening our hearts last week, and make no mistakes, we don't find God's joy without soft hearts. Softening our hearts so that submission and humility are not a break from the norm of our life, but are part of the path that we walk in, are part of our normal. You guys may have asked sometime, God, why in the world did you put in the Ten Commandments? Why did Jesus have to say, children, obey your parents? By the way, I've known some parents that's a legitimate gripe, so you have something there. But make no mistakes, if God is asking you to obey parents, it's not because the goal is to obey parents. The goal is to help soften your heart so that you're ready to obey God. What are you doing to soften your heart? As opposed to bowing up, as opposed to saying, no, I'll have it my way, what are you doing to soften your heart? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Father, soften. Soften me. Soften my spirit. Soften my pride. Soften my sense of I have to be in charge, because what I want is to know you. And I'm fairly certain the only way to know you is through submission and humility. You might try it. Well, it's kind of interesting that the joy doesn't come when she says yes. The joy comes further into it. She sees Elizabeth. The baby jumps in Elizabeth's womb. She comes to a place where she recognizes God is getting ready to bring me joy. And so it's in that song, my soul magnifies and my spirit rejoices in God. But we didn't come to the joy without the humble submission. So the question today for all of us in reality, and the thing I want to affirm, is that joy is much less about pursuing some sort of earthly happiness and a whole lot more about trusting God. And the bottom line of that trust is that it doesn't get anywhere without Jesus. Don't make any substitutes. He's the one. We're going to sing a song now. We invite you to come. If there's anything in your life that you want to say publicly to us, I need Jesus because of this, we invite you now to come as we stand and sing.